This is not a 3-minute unboxing, by the way, if you've got this on YouTube. We're going to be around for a little bit. Long Play Podcast, we'd love to have you stay around. So I know you're looking, you know, because Loria, unboxings are all the rage these days.
Yes, I don't get it.
I don't get it.
You know what? I had a brilliant idea if you have time for a story real quick.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Go ahead.
Okay. So I decided, you know, I've done unboxings for so long and every time it's like, oh my gosh, everybody loves it. And so I decided my brilliant idea was to start an unboxing puppies channel. Put a not like obviously you think it through, you give them some holes for air and everything,
right?
But you put a puppy in a box or kittens, either would work, and then you unbox the dogs. Yeah. I think it would be well accepted.
So you didn't do it, but you're thinking about it.
Well, I thought about it a while ago, and then now I'm just giving away my idea to anybody who wants it.
I think it's a great idea. I would because. People love puppies and cats, right? And
it's what works. And bacon. Put some bacon in there. Put some dogs, puppies, and some kittens. And you are YouTube gold.
Rub that bacon on your hands before the dogs come out. And then they'll just start licking your hands. Hey, that's got to be cute, right?
It's got to. It's got to be like the next biggest channel.
This is the Average Guy Network, and you found Home Gadget Geek, show number 293, recorded on January 19th. Last week, I said July, by the way, 2017. During Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into news reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the Average Guy Defense Studios here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska. And of course, we post the show with world-class show notes. And I'll have a few for you this week out there, out at theaverageguy.tv. Don't forget, the best way to view us in is our mobile app now. So if you want to listen live and on the road or catch the show live on Thursday nights when you're traveling, Spreaker has made that available for us. And so head out, download the mobile app, real easy to remember, homegadgetgeeks.com. The button's out there. Just get that on your phone. You don't have to use it every time. You can still use your podcast player when you want. But if you are traveling, you're on the road, you want to stream us live, best way to do that, homegadgetgeeks.com. Of course, we have a Patreon link. If you want to financially support the show, you can head over to theaverageguy.tv and then click the Patreon button over right-hand corner. $1 and $5 plans. I'm not terribly creative. I'll just say I'm not terribly creative. $1 and $5 plans. If you want to support the show, Loria, we got blacklisted by Amazon. So we were doing the dreaded theaverageguy.tv/Amazon for our support, you know, and apparently that's not legal. And so they wiped my account out. They were like, you're gone. You haven't had any, do you have an Amazon affiliate? By the way, Loria is on the show tonight. Loria, thanks for joining us out here.
just getting right into it.
Yeah, just jump right in. Do you use Amazon affiliate links and stuff with Geeks Life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, for everything I do, I use Amazon affiliates. My favorite thing about it is not the money. My favorite thing about it is the short links.
Yeah.
Because like when I'm posting it out, if somebody's asking me a question, I mean, it's just so much easier.
Well, there's a bunch of us podcasters that got hammered for, because apparently you're not supposed to have like /Amazon in your link. So if you're doing anything, and we referenced it all the time, we had people bookmark it. I mean, it was great. I mean, I hate, sorry for driving traffic to Amazon. You know what I'm saying? And one day I just got
sorry for making it easy.
Well, Lori's with us tonight. Lori Petrucci, you might know her as Callie Lewis. Oh, that's been a long time, right? Are we over that? I mean,
We're not over it. I get daily notices. Hey, Callie, I'm so glad to see you again. Where have you been? Like, I've been right here.
You're like, it's me.
I just changed my name. That's it.
How was that for you? Like, I always wanted to ask you this question. How was it for you taking on a persona like that, a name, a different name, and everybody calls you that and you refer yourself to that? Do you start believing that's your name at some point? And is it hard for you to make the switch, or does it feel weird? How did that work for you? And then how's the switch gone? Back?
Well, so that's a lot of questions in there. So I'm going to try and answer all of them.
Ready to go.
So the, you know, at first it was just kind of, you know, it was a thing. It was kind of it was a decision based on my name being so hard to pronounce, I suppose, primarily. And then, yeah, it just becomes another name you answer to. Like, yeah. For instance, Richard and Bobby, Bob Robert.
Yeah.
I was like, crap, I should have chosen an easier one. But like, you get used to it just like any other name. And so, yeah, you know, it's something that I would just completely like be natural to. But then the reason I changed it is because over time I realized that it was actually kind of holding me back, because Callie had become a thing all of her own, and she had this very specific persona that I wasn't really allowed to leave. I wasn't allowed to have anything else or grow beyond who she had become. And so I needed to grow up, because I had started this whole thing I've been doing for 11 years. So I started it when I was in my early 20s, and, you know, definitely hadn't quite grown up yet. And so I needed to kind of just be myself for once. And yeah, so that was kind of the reason for the transition. And it was super well accepted with my viewer base. However, it definitely kind of caused a confusion and a dip in like people actually, you know, paying attention on a consistent basis, because it's just like, you know, I mean, that's just natural, right? Like Schlutzkies wanted to change their name. I don't even know, have they changed their name yet, or did that even happen? Like, but you start to like, right, not even, you it goes out.
It confuses people, right? I think you confused the internet for a while.
I mean, the internet.
It was like, who?
And my tagline.
If you look you up, I mean, that's a real issue, especially from a branding standpoint. You had really strong brand.
Yes.
And I mean, it was some of the strongest I've ever seen in what we do from a podcasting standpoint. And I applaud you for going against the grain. A lot of people just would have said, oh, fooey, it works, I'm going to leave it, and I'll deal with whatever internal problem it's causing for me. I'll kind of deal with those as I go. But I mean, you took a huge risk. You're taking a huge risk, right? And still doing this. So good for you.
Yeah. It's, you know, I definitely took a big risk and a big hit for sure. You know, so there are still people to this day, it's been almost 2 years. And to this day that people are like, Callie, hi. And then I have to educate them, right? So it's a huge education process. And it definitely was a, you know, I don't regret it by any means. I thought about, because I realized now I have two businesses. When I changed my name, I also launched a second business, which was more business oriented. Like I help people with how to live stream over on another brand. And so I actually realized recently I could have kept Callie over here on the tech side of things and just launched over as Luria over there, but I didn't really know that that was all going to play out the way it was, right? And so then I was like, maybe I should go back to Callie Lewis. Then I'd really confuse the internet.
Wow. Yeah, what would we do? Oh, see, who am I talking to now? And it would have given you an opportunity to have a persona that was a little – not quite as famous, so that you could do some things in public and not have that Callie Lewis moment, you know, and people are like, oh, it's Callie. And I mean, cause you did have some serious followers in that. And so anyways, you've talked about that a lot and sorry to drag you. I'm sure you get that question all the time when people
It's fine. It's part of my story.
Yeah. Well, one of the parts of your story I'm more interested in from the standpoint is your work to get more women in IT. And the last time you were in Omaha, we got a chance to meet, and it was great to see you again. And and it was fun to have you. You know, I had you here the first time in Omaha for a Drobo meetup. And by the way, Drobo at my 5N is still running. And I don't know, have you tracked with what's going on at Drobo? I mean,
I just got the new version. I have not hooked it up yet. I have not had a chance.
It's dynamite. Like the hardware.
That's what you were telling me.
Yeah. So, but they continue to do a great job on the software. So
awesome.
And that's a gadget. So we can talk about that here. But you do your passion, or one of your passions around, is women in tech. And it is for me too. And some of the recruiting I do here, and I have a high school program, and I try to recruit as many women as I can. How are we doing? I mean, we've been emphasizing this for 5-10 years. Do you get a sense, are we making a dent in the problem? Is it changing at all? What kind of, when you're out there talking about it, what kind of feedback are you getting?
I mean, it's all positive feedback. Who's going to be like, screw that. Women should be kept in the house.
No. Not from that sense. But I mean, do you get a feel like we're actually starting to are we starting to turn the numbers? Are we starting to see more women choose IT as careers? Those kinds of things.
Absolutely. There is definitely starting to be kind of a trend and a change. But it's really slow, I gotta say. I mean, it seems very slow. There's all this buzz around it, but my question is, does the buzz equal long-term play? You know, like, does it long-term change? I think I spoke to this at the speech where I was then, but I think there's a dichotomy, maybe is the right word, but between having to focus on women. Like, I think it's a great
Okay, me too. All speaking is forgiven.
What is English?
Words are so hard.
They are. It's really beneficial to focus on women in tech, being like, you know, getting young women interested and involved in technology, you know, anything STEM. But I also kind of feel that it's wrong of us to focus on the women. And it should be more of a bigger kind of overarching, let's get everybody involved in technology. And because when you focus in on a particular group, that group becomes segmented, and then there's a lot of pressure, and then there's a lot of there's a lot of bad stuff that happens when a group of any kind is segmented. And so I'm actually pretty conflicted about how we should go through this change that we'd all like to see. Yes, we need more women in tech, but is the right choice to focus on women so much, or is the right choice to focus on the general education at a younger age? And I think that ultimately we'd be better off focusing more on that. There are definite benefits to doing the other as well. So I think we have some definite challenges ahead of us.
Yeah, no, we do. I see it from the employer side. And it's difficult to, and you mentioned, you know, both underrepresented groups, poor, low income neighborhoods. There's great opportunities in that across all cultures in the United States. If we just think about the United States from that standpoint, very, very lots of great opportunities. And I think it's going to take us years, right? I don't think this is an easy solution.
No.
And we've got a lot of work to do. We're beating the streets to try to give opportunities. You know, we've got high school internships. We even tried some junior high work this fall, and that was tough. That was probably the hardest thing I have ever done. We pulled 7 kids out of the inner city, and they just weren't ready, right? Socially, they just weren't ready to do it. And so that really opened my eyes to a lot. It's not always just about opportunity. Like, you can't always just give kids opportunity. They have to kind of be willing and wanting to be there, and then be ready to sit at a keyboard and learn some technology, right? I mean,
and you're also targeting kids who are trying to figure themselves out. And, you know, like, I think I'll be 100% completely honest, as I always am. I think, you know, we try too hard almost. I think that exposure to opportunities is the root of the key to success. Just being willing to say, hey, these things exist, because you can't force, you know, kids to be interested in anything, right? They're going to be interested in what they're interested in. And when I first started doing technology videos online, I had never been in front of a camera before. I had never had any desire to be this on-camera personality. If you had told me when I was growing up that I would be what I am today, I would have run and hidden in a corner for the rest of my life. Like, I did not want anything to do with any of this stuff. So, but the thing is when I actually stood in front of a camera and I read a prompter, I actually did it pretty darn well. Like, and I had no idea that that skill existed, or that talent, if you will, because it was kind of a natural thing that I was just, I just happened to be good at. I had no idea that it was in me. And I think that's true of everybody. I think we all have things that we are really good at, and we have no idea that we can do it until we're exposed to that opportunity. And so I tell that story to say, I think the more opportunities that we expose kids to, the more chances they are to find their happy place, and their talents and the thing that makes them happy. And especially here in the US, we have a major problem of people being miserable at work, you know? And if that's because they don't like what they do, they're stuck in it. They're, you know, I mean, that's a whole, there's a whole economic, you know, discussion to this whole problem, but of why they're stuck in their jobs. But I think if we expose them early enough to whatever opportunities they have to take advantage of, I think we would see a massive difference over time of people actually being a lot happier, of people being successful at doing what they love to do.
Yeah, that's a good message. One of the things I appreciate about you, and the times I've heard you speak and the times I've spoken to you, is you've never held back from the way you really feel about it. And I appreciate that, because I think there's just some great messages in there. And in the pre-show, we're talking about using your superpowers for good, right? And when we had Shauna Dorsey,
I thought we were talking about puppies and boxes.
Well, that too. we were doing, and that's not those aren't bad superpowers, by the way. Puppies are pretty good superpowers. But really taking those things that we're good at and giving students and young adults opportunities to try things and to get and to figure out those things, I think is really important. And so we've got a lot of work to do. I don't have, I got about 15 or so working years left in difference. It's weird to start thinking about my career as like, because it's always felt like it's going to be forever, right? And
right.
Then all of a sudden, not this year, but next, I turn 50. And then you start thinking, well, you know, I got maybe 5 or 10 or 15 good years. Oh boy, that was scary.
don't say it.
But 15 years is a very countable number when you start thinking about, you know, you've been podcasting for 11.
Yeah.
So you start thinking, man, that went really fast. So I really think as technologists, and a lot of the folks in my audience are sysadmins and technology people and software developers, I think we've, especially here in the United States, and if you're listening overseas, I have a lot of Australian listeners, which I'm sure you do as well, and in the UK.
Yeah, it's funny. We all tend to attract the Australians. I love it.
They love to hang around us Americans. I don't know why, but they do. But anyways.
It's because we love their accent. It's really.
We'll do anything. If they ask us to, if we can understand.
Like, yes, right. That's true.
I got a friend in Melbourne. I can't understand a word he says. I'm like, yeah. I don't know what you're saying. You're going to have to repeat it, but we've got some great opportunities. And so I appreciate the fact that you get out. It's not just about the geekery, although we're going to cover that here in just a second. It's not just about the geekery, but you've got some great mission behind you and you're doing some great stuff to speak at in behalf. And when you're in Omaha, you were speaking to our Code Crush, which is our girls kind of camp over the weekend at the local university. And these girls come in and do some great, have some great opportunities to do them. One of those that you spoke with is now in my high school internship program. So yeah, and she'll make her way. She'll be a senior, and we're hoping to keep her around for a while and give her great opportunities and see where she goes. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great story. So thanks for coming to Omaha. And
that was a lot of fun. I mean, it was. I gotta say, it was a lot of pressure as well. Like,
it's a tough crowd.
So speaking to, yeah, it is a tough crowd.
High school girls. It's like, wow, I wish that upon no one. But you did great. You got to hang out with us afterwards, and that was a ton of fun. We got a lot of good stuff going on
You too. I was really impressed with the attitude and the ways that you're trying to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. You know, there's really no right one way to do anything in life, right? And so I loved to see what you were working on and how you were going about it. So
tons of fun. Thanks for coming out. Well, let's get geekery on this, and we'll keep it kind of high level tonight. And that's all I have, because I don't often have times to dig in. But I asked you, I said, hey, I wanted to talk about some trends, and we have been talking, and you just can't get away from it. But when we think about the trends as for these digital assistants, so when we think of the Amazon device, right, when we think of the Google device, when we think of Siri, and when we think of Google Now, and when we think of Cortana, which I've been messing with a bunch lately in the Microsoft space, which I'm legally obligated to say that because I'm a Microsoft MVP, so I have to do those kinds of things. But when we think of those, where do you land? I mean, what are you using? What's your preference? What do you like about it? Give me some of that feedback.
I'm using, excuse me. My favorite is Amazon Echo. At the moment, I really don't like Siri. I get frustrated with Siri all the time.
It's kind of just stayed stagnant. I mean, I'm a big iPhone fan. Yeah. It really hasn't changed.
There was a dip in there where it even got worse.
Yeah.
And then it got back to normal. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of Siri at all. I actually use an iPhone, but I'm an Android girl at heart. but I love Google's platform. And I think that Google Now is going to be great with another couple of software updates. I think it has a little bit of work that they need to be doing, but it's interesting because if you'd asked me before CES, I would have said that Google Now would have taken over the market. Then I went to CES, and there's the biggest trend of them all at CES, which was Amazon Echo on everything, in everything. Whirlpool, LG, Samsung, Chevy, I think it was. They are licensing out to everyone. And I was floored. I didn't realize they were that busy. I mean, they have been busy. And so I think that they actually now have the potential of killing Google Now, or at least not letting Google Now kill them. I think just by being ubiquitous and being completely everywhere, that could overtake something like Google Now, which would technically be better.
Yeah, on your site, and I'm sorry it's taking me so long to say geekslife.com. So folks know that you're here. You've got a feature from CES, LG Hub Robot gives Alexa a friendly face. Mm-hmm. So a great example of where, you know, now they've LG's kind of created their own robot for it. We big fans of the Echo device here in the Collison house. Great for lists, great for music, great for cooking. I mean, it makes the best kitchen device, but it doesn't know squat.
No, it doesn't.
It knows nothing. Like, you can't ask it anything beyond that. Yeah. And it actually knows something. And so I think they've got some work to do too, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. There's so much work to be done in that space in general for us to actually be happy with our devices. I only use Echo in the kitchen while cooking, and I run out of something. And I'm like, hey, add it to the list. Can I just do this for your viewers? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, Alexa, add bacon to the list.
Nice.
I love doing that.
I like it. Bacon's appropriate. Everybody should have bacon.
So, you know, it does so much more, yet I don't use it for anything else other than that. But I don't care that I'm not using it for anything else. It doesn't feel like a wasted device, because even just that one thing is a lifesaver for me. I'm confident now that when I go to the grocery store, I'm not missing anything, because I just like throw things at it left and right constantly. And it's all there for me when I'm at the grocery store, which is brilliant.
It's doing a better job of alarms and waking you up. By the way, well, a lot of people didn't. They put them in the kitchen, right? And they didn't put them in the bedroom. So
well, if you get a Dot, then you can.
You could, yeah, you could. Actually, I bought a Dot. It's down here on the in the studio, which is kind of fun because you can say Echo. Well, see, it can't even hear. You know, it's so frustrating. If I whisper to it, Echo, what can you do? See, it can hear me if I just whisper at it.
Weird.
And, that's not good. Of course, I didn't turn
I can't find the answer to the question.
Yeah, she says that a lot.
A perfect answer to what's doing. You in the room, music, they've got some sounds coming with it. Of course, news updates, all that stuff, very, very helpful. So I think it does that well. What I'm noticing on the Google Now side is the analytics around what you're doing and it helping you, it being more proactive. Like, oh, I see that you're thinking about going outside. Let me map that for you. Right? I mean, it's kind of scary.
Minority Report, anyone?
It's kind of scary what, I mean, how much data it has on you. And then they push those cards to you. To be honest with you, the way I take to work every couple days, it's jammed up. And I would love to know in a more proactive way. I'm an iPhone user, so I don't get this on my phone. But I'd love to know more in a proactive way. As I'm getting in the car or whatever, it says, hey, pay attention to me. You shouldn't go the way you normally go, right? Mm. That would be really helpful.
Yeah, that stuff is useful for sure. And I think that there will be a whole lot more integration, you know, even in 2017. I think it'll be little steps toward it. But integration between automation from your home into your car and vice versa. But I think we have to be careful. Right now we are in a critical spot of privacy issues. And I've always been just a happy-go-lucky gadget girl, but we have to pay attention to this issue because we are so willing as geeks to be like, this is awesome, this is so cool, that we don't even think about the privacy that we're giving up. And, you know, I mean, it's a scary future if we just let it go.
Does it stop you, though? I mean,
It does sometimes. Yeah. I'm more careful these days than I ever had been before. Just being aware of what we are doing, what can happen if we just let it go without any kind of pausing and thinking through it. So I don't always do everything that I probably would find cool.
Do you find yourself muting the device from time to time?
No, I don't really mute it. Although I have gotten into situations where it's answering things that I'm like, I'm not even talking to you. That's when I'm like, crap.
Well, I had the TV on the other day and I was down here watching TV off this monitor. And in one segment, the Echo came on and started spinning and then said I couldn't find anything. And then Cortana fired up about 5 minutes later trying to answer a question. And so whatever was said on the TV must have flagged that. And Cortana's hard because you got to say, hey, Cortana.
Oh, you got to be very specific.
Now it's going to come out. Just.
Emily says she welcomes.
Not cooperating. Check back in a few.
There we go.
She said that she welcomes our new robot overlords.
Yeah, well, Emily's ready for that, but she wants the robot overlords to serve her.
Don't we all? Yeah, for her exclusively.
Her exclusively.
She's the power. Okay.
No, right. Yeah, she'll be the boss.
So I was actually talking to a really intelligent guy. So at CES, one of the things that I was doing was interviewing Toyota executives about their new concept car called Concept I, and it's for like 2030, right? So it's this crazy, like, awesome car, but it was one of the things I got to do was interview the guy who's in charge of the robotic systems and the AI. And we didn't get to go this deep in the actual interviews, but I did this particular one. I think it was on the Engadget stage. And back behind in the green room before the interview started, we were just totally geeking out. And one of the things that we were talking about was this privacy thing, right? And he was describing, you know, there are two ways to go forward in this solution. And one, when you're developing the robotics and the AI, you either control that or you allow them to make their, they allow them to program themselves, right? And so you can either take, you could take either route, and scientists and roboticists are kind of probably not fighting. I shouldn't just say that, but I'm sure there's a little bit of discussion in that industry about how to go through, to go forward with all of this, because if you take this route where you are allowing them to basically program themselves and decide things for themselves, then we do potentially have a real problem, right? And he was on this other side where, you know, a human has to have full control over these processes. So it's, you know, there are definite discussions happening around that particular issue. As much as I love robots, I freaking love robots. You know that. I'm a robot girl.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah,
yeah. You know, just with the privacy issues, and I don't really see us like in a situation where like robots control us. But I guess it could happen.
You don't think so? You don't think so? At some point, we may have that problem on our hands.
I guess it could happen. If you go down this route, yeah, where you're, yeah, allowing them to, like, you're training the systems to answer questions for themselves and to create, essentially. So, I mean, I guess it could happen, but that's the other thing at CES. I saw so many robots. Like, there were robots everywhere. And I always pay attention to the robots at CES. But man, they were prevalent this year.
What was the most interesting one you saw?
I didn't really get to look at them because I was in and out. Unfortunately, my schedule just didn't allow me to hang out. So I didn't get much floor time. But I don't have a good answer for that. But they were everywhere. That's all.
That's what we've heard. Yeah. They were all over the place. I think actually there's a great application for them inside prosthetics. So when we think about the control, right, we do a lot of, mm-hmm, things, and I think there's a lot of AI that could be used to predict movements with hands. And yeah, I mean, we're able to do that in movies today with code, with software. Why can't we apply that to a hand or a foot or a leg and really understand its position and what it needs to do and how, mm-hmm, it needs to move? And have the intelligence built into the prosthetic, yeah, instead of. So I think there's some great applications from that standpoint when we think about robots and robotics. We had a guest on, Erin, and she previewed one of those robot lawnmowers, mm-hmm, and then we saw a robot lawnmower with a snow thrower. So now it's a combination, right? Here in Nebraska, if you do lawn service, mm-hmm, in the summer, you also do snow service in the winter. Those are the two things that go together. So
yeah,
now we have a robot that will go out on your driveway. Where are you living now? Are you in the Portland area? Portland.
And so, we just had snowpocalypse.
A ton of snow, yeah, right? Didn't you? Yeah, yikes. My sister lives out there. So I think, I mean, some of the robots that serve us from, that really serve us. Right? I think that industry is getting really good when, mm-hmm, we think about what these, they can vacuum our floors, they can, right, bring certain things to us. And now I'm starting to see some of these in the kitchen where it's just an arm. It's really creepy looking, right? Where it's just an arm and it knows, or arms, and it knows what to do and what to get. And so some of that, do you have a favorite?
I always worry about, I'm really organized in my brain, but when I get really busy, like my house I think we're all that way, right? Like just nothing gets put away. Like this morning or at lunch, I heated up some leftovers, and then hours later I went back. I was like, oh, I forgot to put away everything. So I was like all just sitting there getting old, right? Anyway, I say that because those arms, you have to, like, that's the only thing I can think of when I see those. You have to make sure that you put things back into place or that things are in an actual order. I don't know how these things will perform in a house full of kids, for instance.
Maybe they can see and they'll recognize the difference between a fork and a spoon, right?
Well, that technology does exist in color coding as well, object form. So they can do all of that. The ones that I've seen have all been kind of like placement oriented, but
I don't think we're far from it, to be honest with you. The camera technology is getting really, really good.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, you know, Windows Hello has been doing some facial recognition, and I think Microsoft is getting a ton of telemetry on how to do that with low-cost cameras. I mean, that's kind of the whole Windows Hello reason to have it. Like, hey, can I recognize this face? By the way, if that's not, I mean, think about if you want to go Evil Empire, think about, you know, a technology like that, scanning your face, and what if it's got all these data points that then it knows where you're at. It's tracking you all the time, right? That's what's that TV show, Person of Interest? Was that the, no. What was the one? It was a computer, and the computer's constantly using all the cameras around the world to track people.
You know? God. So,
I think it was Person. I don't know. I don't watch too much TV. But
Kevin wants to know if there will be if the robot would have a favorite kid in the family.
Yeah, the one that survives. Well, I'd love to have, you know, there was a, we talked about this last week a little bit. There was a machine, you throw your clean clothes in the bottom and you go to work, and when you come home, they're all folded.
Yeah. That'd
right?
be nice.
Now, that could be cool. And I just would like one that would follow behind me and pick up. Like,
yes.
I mean, how hard could that be? Just pick it up.
Every morning, my coffee cup is here at my desk, and then I go down to do the show. And then in the morning, I get up and I go downstairs to make coffee. And then I have to come right back upstairs because I have left my coffee cup on my desk.
Yeah.
And if a robot could follow me around to take care of those little details, I would be the happiest girl on earth.
You just need a coffee robot is what you need. And it would carry the coffee cup around. And when it was empty, it would, like, its hand would go over the top, fill it. Coffee would shoot out of its fingers, and then here you go, Maria.
We have to have another hand for cream, though, because I don't do coffee for coffee's sake.
Coffee out of the fingers, cream out of the thumb.
There you go. That would work.
You also, you probably saw or even looking at some home automation as well. So when we think of home automation in terms of lights and sensors and some of those kinds of things, have you personally dived into any of those? Do you have any favorites? I mean, is there anything you're actually using in the home automation space?
Unfortunately not, because I'm renting. So I moved to Portland a little over a year ago. I don't even know how long it's been, somewhere around there. I'm renting because I don't know where I'll wind up or anything like that. Right. And so when you're renting a place, it's really difficult. What did somebody say?
Kevin said that robot would walk around and follow you and say, I'm not your mother.
You're right, Kevin. It would so be like, I'm pulling an attitude moment right here. That's hilarious.
You know, I'm not your mom. Oh, sorry, I interrupted you. Is there anything you'd like? So say you weren't renting, and of course you could get into some bulbs that would be.
Well, so I have used iLumis, and unfortunately they just frustrated me more than they were beneficial to me. So I hear the Philips actually do a whole lot better. They're a lot more expensive as well. So when you invest in something and it doesn't work out, you don't want to reinvest in another one of the kind, even if it's a different brand. It's a hard choice to make. That I've done. You know, I've done Nest in the past and things like that. But I get really frustrated with home automation where it stands right now, because nothing works together. And if you do want something that's entirely, you know, connected, it's going to cost you a pretty penny. And, you know, I love the idea of having full home automation, but we're not at a point where things talk to each other enough for it to be a smooth experience. So when it gets to that point, I will be all in. When right now it's just more frustration than helpfulness, in my opinion. I did actually do a video at CES in my hotel room about the automation. I was staying at the Aria and in Las Vegas, and it was fully automated. Like, everything was automated from the blinds to the lights. You had an iPad sitting beside your bed that you can control everything with. It took me a minute, but I was like, oh no, I'm gonna have to like go to the iPad to fix something. But you actually also had controls on the walls to control everything in addition to the iPad. So I thought that was a nice backup system. I was glad that they didn't just fully go with the iPad, because you know how those things go.
Well, and the number one complaint.
I'm sorry, it wasn't an iPad. It was just an Android tablet. Why do I keep saying it was an iPad? Sorry.
Because you're using the generic term for a tablet, which is an iPad.
I right? So got in trouble from a viewer for saying that. He was like, you're not a real geek.
Yikes. Do you get much hate mail in what you do?
Always, yeah. Yeah. I get a lot of hate. But, you know, I think, well, that's whole other discussion.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of praise as well.
That's too bad. Gentlemen, behave yourselves. It's too bad. I don't. But there may be some factors in that. My audience is significantly less than yours. It attracts mostly men to a male audience. A male audience to a male host. And I think that works a little bit better. Unfortunately, in some of the other female hosts that I've talked to, I'm hearing that same trend, which is gentlemen, behave yourselves, right?
Yeah.
We can be better than that.
I mean, the most common thing I get, like if I go live on Periscope, for instance, I'm asked to take off my shirt and do certain acts, and you know, I mean, it gets really raw and gross. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, that is the state that we live in, and I won't speak for these women, but because I don't know for sure, but I do wonder if that's part of the reason that we've seen certain tech hosts like Veronica and Sarah, and you know, all of these people who we've had a lot of women hosts over the years. And now that's diminishing, if that's part of the reason. And again, I'm not speaking for them. I'm not saying that that's the reason that they left. I know that they also wanted to do a lot different and more things in their life, which is awesome. Fully support that. But, you know, I also know it's a tough environment. So,
yeah, it is. It's too bad. It doesn't really have to be. And Periscope was awful. I mean, it's a good example because I Periscoped my son's graduation from the Marines. And oh my God, you should have seen the hate, the anti-American, you know, and it's just like, oh, this is awful. Now, Facebook Live, you've been doing a lot of things with Facebook Live, right? Your show, right? You're taking your show as well as you guys produce it, which is produced very, very well. And you're pushing that into Facebook Live. Is that different for you? Because that's a little more of a walled garden when we think about the audience. How's that going for you?
Yeah, I actually go live to all three platforms. Facebook Live is definitely, from a business perspective, it's definitely better. Like, so I have two brands, Geeks Life. I do Facebook and YouTube. And for that brand, because YouTube is more established over the years for that brand, YouTube is way better. But Facebook, we've trained the audience to go to Facebook as well. And I don't take that the wrong way.
But no, I understand what you mean.
And then for my other brand, Live Streaming Pros, we go live to all three, Periscope, Facebook, and YouTube. And Facebook is definitely a more stable audience. However, you know, even though all the crap comes on Periscope, I also do find value in it. So it's a matter of mitigation, really.
Yeah. And when you are on Facebook Live, are you actually trying to give feedback or get feedback from the audience there? Or is
absolutely.
It okay? And that's working. How do you, like, do you have a screen close by where you're also monitoring that, but how are you physically doing that? Cause you know, today we do that on a phone. Mm-hmm. A lot of people use phone. You're certainly using other equipment to do that, right?
Yeah, we're using TV quality equipment. So the same things that CNN or ABC would take out on remote streams, live broadcasts. We use the same equipment in our studio. And so I have a producer who runs the entire show. At my desk, I have it set up so that it's like tabs, but shrunk tabs so that it's like I can see all of the different chat rooms at the same time without doing anything. And so that's how I run things there. It just gives me the ability, like, and I've had a lot of practice. I've been doing live video for 11 years. Like, it's, I've had a lot of practice with the whole engagement plus talking thing, right? Like, I've been calling people out, but we're still having a conversation. Yeah.
You might be the first guest I've had in a while that can actually manage a chat room. Is, you know, they'll be like, they'll be talking and then they just kind of drop off because, right, you know, they look over. And so it does take a little bit of practice to kind of go between, right? And so
you have to multitask and you have to train your brain to keep going on the thought that you're doing while taking in, but not letting it overtake. So it's, you know, it's just, it's practice makes perfect. Mm-hmm. But so I focus on high engagement when it comes to any live broadcast that I do.
And how long are you typically live on Facebook when you do it?
For live streaming pros, that's a 30-minute show with a 10-minute countdown. So that's 40 minutes. For Geeks Life, it's only weekly as opposed to daily with live streaming pros. So Geeks Life is an hour with a 10-minute countdown, where the pre-show countdown is just let's hang out and goof off and have some fun.
It's a pre-show. Right?
It's a pre-show.
Do you have a counter or is it just you talking like we did here earlier?
No, we actually have a countdown timer that displays on the screen so people can see the show starts in this, but it's also me on camera as well.
Right. So they see you. Do they hear you?
Yeah.
So you're talking to them. Okay.
No, yeah, we're talking. I always have a question of the day that I ask people to get engagement during the pre-show. And then we, you know, do a whole conversation thing and then we start the show, and it depends on what kind of content I'm doing. Like if I'm doing, you know, kind of value driven content where I'm trying to teach something, then I will start with a little bit of engagement, go into that for a good 5 to 10 minutes solely education, and then do like a Q&A type thing, right? With Geeks Life on the weekly show, that's story driven and total audience engagement. Like I'm constantly talking to the audience there. So it's like, hey, this is what happened this week in tech. This is what I think about it. What do you think about it? And so people are constantly chiming in.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. It's fun to watch. I've tried to jump in when I see you go live on Facebook and just see what's going on. It's good fun. What's the favorite, like your most favorite thing that you're doing right now? If you think about, because you've got two very diverse roles in a lot of what you're doing. What's your favorite if you could do one thing?
I love the coaching that I'm doing, the kind of one-on-one training and teaching. Like I've been doing this for 11 years, so I have learned so much about, I've made so many mistakes. I've had a lot of successes, you know. I have so many amazing stories and so many things that I've done that are like, wow, I can't believe I have done that, you know? But at the same time, like things haven't always gone so smoothly. So I've learned a lot. And when I started Geeks Life and then live streaming pros, my mission was to not hold that all in, but to help others achieve the same. And where I am right now in my life and in my business, I love the coaching process, because if I'm doing it one-on-one, like it's this whole creative thing that has a life of its own when we're going back and forth and trying to accomplish a very specific goal. I just love that process.
Yeah. And do you do that in the context of the business of helping small businesses set up their own media and those kinds of things? Is that
helping small business owners and entrepreneurs start their own live show, and all that surrounds that, right? So like, you know, on the show, live streaming pros, the free stuff, the free show that we do every day, I'm just constantly educating on different topics. With our one-on-one clients, that's really like detailed, fine-tuned, like these are the things that we're accomplishing this week. Then this next week we are accomplishing this. And as you know, 6 months down the road, you have a full-fledged TV show quality, you know, live show, and you have this marketing campaign that's going well. And so, yeah.
Do you customize that for every single customer that you work with? So everybody's situation is a little bit different when you go into a coaching in a setup. Absolutely. Is that completely custom for the most part?
Depends. So we do group coaching, which is, yes, customized, but in a group setting. So it can't be fully customized. And then we do one-on-one where it's full-on customization. Like every client is different. And so that's just kind of, I've never experienced that before. So in doing, you know, a business that way. So I'm just having fun with this new experience.
No, that's cool. There's a market for it. You know, this is what we do at Gallup, and I brought podcasting to it, and we're not TV quality and we don't need to be yet, but certainly they've asked me and you know, I didn't have this thought until you just said that, like, if I ever needed to go to the TV level, TV quality level, I'd probably give you a call. How would I, so say I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, oh, hey, my business could take, how would I, what's the best way to get in contact with you to get something started? How would they do that?
You could do two ways. You could just contact me directly, support@livestreamingpros.com, or you could take our quiz that tells you exactly who you are as a live streamer, what kind of level you should be at and what you should be trying to accomplish based on your goals and your budget and lots of other information that happens within the quiz. It's an education / digging into what you're trying to do with live. That's at livestreamingquiz.com.
Livestreamingquiz.com. And I'll try and get that in the show notes. And so you're really enjoying that part. And that's, it's got to bring you some great satisfaction. I mean, that's so different than the on-screen stuff that you've been doing for so long, right? I mean, that's kind of a little bit of a different world for you.
It's definitely a different world, although I find a lot of similarities at the same time, because I am still kind of like out in front and I'm doing a daily show for that. And so I'm very much still a personality. However, when I 4 years into me doing the geek shows, I had the feeling that I needed to kind of set myself up for a longer term business. That didn't happen for many years. I tried and that just wasn't going the direction that I needed it to. But I'm not always going to be on screen. Like, I'm not, you know, I mean, maybe I will be, but I want to be able to not have to if I don't want to, you know? And so I really wanted to create a business where it was sort of self-sustaining. And yes, it's still kind of around, you know, my personality, but it's becoming a business all of itself as opposed to me being the business.
Yeah. It's good diversification for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
It's good diversification. You ever wake up, cause I do this sometimes, you and I are in the same business, we're on the screen all the time. It seems like, you ever wake up some mornings and go, I just do not want to be on screen today?
Of course. Do you? Absolutely.
How do you power through it? Everybody has a different way, but just kind of choose like, well, okay, here we go, or okay.
Yeah. I mean, I just like, I think of it as a mental switch, you know, it's just like a switch that I flip in my brain. And yes, absolutely. I have days where I do not want to be on screen, or I'm feeling like crap. I have, you know, a lot of those days, but it doesn't make what I've chosen to do any less fun. It's just a matter of kind of getting into it and getting the job done.
Yeah, I think it's the difference, you know, in podcasting. It's the difference between kind of doing it as a hobby and doing it as a pro. And you just gotta, you choose, you make a choice. Like, well, I don't really want to do this today, but guess what? People are waiting to hear it. And I just need to get out there and power through it and get it done. And I don't know about you, but I've actually found those are some of my best performances or best shows when I do it when I don't feel like it, because I may be a little more honest, right? Maybe a little more truthful, right? You start.
And I find that when I agree with you on that, but like, I also find that I push harder. like, because I'm trying to overcome this, you know, this moment. And then you're like pushing, I find myself pushing past that point where I'm just kind of comfortable, and it often turns out a whole lot better. Yeah.
Okay. A couple questions for you. Yeah. Favorite piece of tech right now, your current favorite piece of tech. What can you not live without?
Sonos.
Really? Wow. I did not expect you to say Sonos. Hey, would
it's
Sonos
a oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, it does. It is. Would Sonos be really bad if they put Siri in it?
Please don't even say that. Don't even. No.
Right, just one of those kinds of things. They're close. They may be close to that.
No, I mean, I have Sonos speakers all over my house. It drives my life. And when Sonos, you know, is down, I'm down. Like, I'm down and out.
So
music
is
really important.
I was going to say, are you a musophile? I mean, do you listen to a lot of music?
Yeah. Okay. I have different playlists for different things. Like, you know, when it's time to focus on a project, I have focus project, you know, music, and then I have relaxation music, and I have bath music, and I have morning music.
Are those playlists? Is that how you have it set up? Okay, good. Yeah. No, it's a great way. And you can do it now. I mean, you can do it through the Echo and just, right? I mean, if you want to
use
the
speaker,
Echo.
Come on.
True. No, that's true. Wouldn't it be great if you could push that through Sonos and then it would go to all your, wouldn't it be great if that integration worked? Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
That would be nice.
Maybe someday. Hey, any pieces of tech like that when you're thinking about tech, any pieces of that you're really hoping for that we don't quite have there yet besides robots?
I mean, I think like the Google Home stuff, you know, I do see that as being super beneficial. And I think that's the thing that I'm looking forward to the most, being a bigger part of my life.
Kevin says he's a big Sonos fan.
Yes.
But two of their executives quit.
What? I didn't hear that.
I'm not hearing good stuff coming out of Sonos right now.
Oh, no.
I think there's some internal trouble there. So they'll stay around, but they may be in a position to get bought.
Oh.
You know, who knows what's going
on. I love Sonos.
Don't sweat. What you have still works. That's the great part about the technology.
Right? Let's buy it all up right now.
Did you work, Kwesi asked, did you work with Chris Perlo on Call for Help?
So I mean, I know and have worked with Chris Perlo, not specifically, like, I think we met at Call for Help, but, actually, no, I met him through, LockerGnome, through, the conference, because I spoke there early on. I think that was the first time I ever spoke, actually. That was a nerve-wracking experience, but, I we're friends, but I didn't work with him specifically on Call for Help.
Yeah. This is my question. Who's your mentor? Who do you look to when you think about tech and the things that you do? Who do you look to?
As tech specifically? Like
business tech? Life,
it's different
matter.
I mean, early on in my early days of the tech stuff, you know, it was definitely Leo Laporte, you know, in terms of the geek side.
Yeah.
Right now, my mentors are more on the business side of things, you know, like how do I really fine-tune my business expertise and my ability to take what I'm trying to do to the next level. So I don't really focus so much on the geek side of things with mentors, but on the business side, it's like people like Ryan Lee and Michael Hyatt and people who are focused on really doing business well, but not taking advantage of other people and doing it with a solid, moral, good ethics. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And right now, you know, like early, the first mentor I had was Andrew Locke from helpmybusiness.com. And he had been actually a viewer of Geeks Beat or Geek Brief or one of them.
Whenever that was, right?
One of my shows. He had been a viewer and he had tried to reach out a couple times and we never really like picked up. And then at Podcast Movement, I was speaking and he came up to me and then we really hit it off. And he became a really important mentor for me over the last year and a half, in terms of just getting me to kind of through all of the transitional stuff. And so he, you know, there are different mentors for different things, I guess, but yeah, those are some of them.
Good. No, it's good to hear. I think everybody needs a coach. Everybody needs a mentor in what they're doing, right? You can't.
I can't tell you how I didn't know that until I started to go out truly on my own. I did not realize how important that was. And it is so important that you choose the right one as well.
Yeah. No, right on. My coach podcasts with me at Gallup, which is kind of cool. And so we'll get on early in 15 or 20 minutes, and you know, she'll kind of drag some things out of me, right? A lot of coaching is listening, and so mm-hmm. she asks great questions and then listens. And yeah, so it's pretty cool. I think I'm with you. I didn't realize Gallup, one of the things we're doing is creating an army of StrengthsFinder coaches, but
nice.
The coaching is super, I think it's super important. It's just one of those things. You need someone objective outside of your life who can speak truth into it and isn't, and where it won't affect your relationship, right?
From that standpoint. Absolutely. Where it's not like you're not like getting all like egotistical about it or anything. And I can't tell you how many, like I'm part of a couple of masterminds. And I can tell you like the biggest changes that have been in place or the biggest aha moments have been from the stupidest little like throw out comments that happen in these environments. And it's just impressive. You know, it's not the big, like, all right, here's what you need to do. Right. It's just the throwouts that are like constant focus and helpful to get outside of yourself, like you were talking about, because none of us have the ability to look objectively, fully objectively at ourselves.
We just can't do it. And I think there's moments where when we have a coaching session, like when it's set up or, hey, we're going to meet at this time or even the masterminds, mm-hmm. you know, you're not always in the right spot for those.
And mentally,
sometimes when you have a coach who's also around you in those times when you have those teachable, learnable, self-discovery, you know, the onion gets peeled away and the raw core is there and the coach can then really deal with it and help you deal with it. Man, those are super powerful moments. I mean, I can't tell you, there's been some moments where I've just been at the bottom and I've had some people around me who's been willing to speak truth into me mm-hmm. in those moments. And that's what I think is really important.
Super important.
Good. Well, hey, thanks for taking an hour tonight to be a part of it. Great to have you. I was, you know, the other day, well, this was a couple months ago, well, maybe two. I was like, how come I've never had you on my podcast? Like, how stupid is that? That I've never just asked you. I mean, in the times where we're doing that, I just was like, hey, and thank you for just saying, yeah, of course I will be on your podcast. And so good to have
Absolutely.
You on.
Great thanks for catch. Asking.
You're welcome. Thank you for doing that. And thanks for saying yes and coming on. Always good to catch up with you. And you know, you'd said before, I think in the pre-show, you're like, you know, we're not going to go too deep on the tech. I'm really glad we don't go too deep on the tech. I think every couple shows we need to kind of just speak it for what it is. And these are life, right? Okay. You know, there's always going to be a new Samsung watch and there's always going to be a different phone and there's always going to, you know, this and that, but we live these real lives.
Right.
We live these and tech is a big part of it, right?
For you
and for me, we live our life around tech, but there's still things like people in our lives that are, that are important.
There right? are people
that we need to reach out to and, you know, use that tech. And we always talk about the wife acceptance factor here on Home Gadget Geeks. That stuff is important too. By the way, the Amazon Echo gets like a complete A+ on wife acceptance factor.
Nice.
That's an awesome.
Why. Thing, so, yeah, but yeah, cool. I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, thank you. I'll say this. Thanks again.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. I was just a quick closing thought here. I agree. You know, I used to get excited by the specs, and I find myself as I get older finding less and less joy out of specs and more importance on how does it benefit my lifestyle and what does it bring to the table. So I focus on that primarily now, which is a whole lot more fun, actually.
Yeah. Well, and I think consumer electronics has gotten boring, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It works. It's like there's not, I mean, in the early days when we were doing this 10 years ago type deal, it was cool. I mean, there was some really exciting new.
Really innovative, actually innovative. Very,
yeah. No, right on. I'm kind of thinking we're through most of that. There is some things with, well, you mentioned them, AI. There's some machine learning stuff that's really, really interesting. There's some, you know, some things in robotics or some things with self-driving car. But I don't know. Maybe we've just matured a little bit and it's like, hey, the people are more important. So I'm going to let you drop off. I've got some stuff to close off with here. But again, thanks again for coming on. Great to have you. And next time I'm in Portland, I'll try and track you down.
Do indeed. And thank you so much to the live chat room. Bye.
Gloria, thank you. Take care. We'll, wow, that's a great interview. I really, really appreciate her coming on. I'll remind you guys on the way out of here that don't forget to, if you want to support the show from a financial standpoint, jump on our Patreon link, do that. Head out bottom or bottom, top right-hand corner, Patreon there. It's available for you, $1 and $5 plans. Nobody's done it in a while, and that's okay. But if you want to support it, you can do that as well. Don't forget, if you want to give me some feedback, jim@theaverageguy.tv. You can track me down on Twitter @jcollison. The AverageGuy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, now powered by Maple Grove Partners. I shouldn't say now. It's been for a while. Actually, it's been for like 4 or 5 years now. Secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people you know and trust. That's Christian. Lots of good upgrades going on over there at Maple Grove Partners. Head out to Maple Grove Partners, all one word, maplegrovepartners.com. $10 plans actually get you in WordPress, podcasting, web hosting, media hosting, the whole shoot and match, $10. If you want to get in there, head out to maplegrovepartners.com. We want to thank Roger out at WLMN Radio for broadcasting us live on terrestrial radio out there in Grafton, West Virginia. So, Roger, thanks for doing that. Appreciate that. You can, and then don't forget, you can listen to Home Gadget Geeks on our app, on our mobile app. We'll thank LastPass for their sponsorship. I got a note from somebody this week, and they said, I made the jump to LastPass. So, we appreciate LastPass for their sponsorship of the show and for their sponsorship of the app. And so head out to homegadgetgeeks.com and you can download the apps as well. I've been very, very bad about getting the newsletter out. So I apologize. But if you want to sign up for the newsletter, theaverageguy.tv/newsletter will get you there. And if you want to sign up for that, I'll send you a note about once a month or so or every other month. And so it just is hard, guys. So I'll be honest with you. Been remodeling our bathroom, not the main one, but our back bathroom. Took it down to the drywall over the New Year's weekend. What a nightmare that has been. Actually, it went really well for a while, and then this last Sunday was a bad day. As I was installing the toilet tank, I broke something, and of course, water started leaking everywhere, and then I shut it off, and I replaced the valve, and then forgot to turn the valve off, the new valve. Forgot to turn that off before I turned the house water back on. I'm not kidding. A fountain of water. Brand new paint, brand new walls, brand new baseboards, brand new floor, brand new toilet. Completely soaked. Jackass. So, yeah. You know, why I don't pay people to do these things, I'll never know. But I always think, well, I can do it myself. It's not that hard. So, in the process, I also... That same day, it was an awful day. That same day, I broke the bowl installing it. I forgot to put that little rubber gasket that goes between the tank and the bowl. And I was wondering why it kept leaking when I was flushing it. And I just kind of tightened it tighter and tighter. And then, crank, cracked the bowl. So that has been keeping me pretty occupied on the weekends, besides spending all my money. I've been getting the show out just as quick as I can and then getting up there. Got some wiring to do. I had to order a new tank. Actually, if you're looking on the video, right to see right down there, I'm looking down over my left shoulder. There's the tank right there. That's the tank that I broke. It's got the guts inside it. I need to pull those out. I have a new tank coming that should arrive next week sometime, and we'll put that in there and fix that up. But, you know, it's, guys, crazy. You know, the tech stuff, I struggle with the tech stuff sometimes too, but yikes. So I wouldn't go back in the room for a couple days. It was so painful to have all that happen. And it's like, oh, I was doing so good. So hopefully the bowl will come. I've got a little bit of wiring to do in there and then bring the vanity in and we're done. And that room is done. Replace the carpet in the bedroom, get it painted. We're going to move next year. So we're moving some things around. So appreciate you guys. If you listen this far, you're some of the most dedicated listeners yet. I'll do a little solo post show. If you want to queue up a few questions for me, you can ask those in the chat room. We're live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv live. If you just joined us on Home Gadget Geeks, maybe you just started listening for whatever reason, hey, welcome. We're glad that you're out here. Great community of people. If you want a forums community or you're looking for a really sharp tech forums community, head out to Home Server Show. I know that sounds weird, but head out to homeservershow.com. And there is a dynamite set of forums out there and lots of broken up into a bunch of different ways. If you want to be a part of that community, one of the best tech communities I have ever seen. No trolls. Everybody's very professional most of the time. Thanks, admins, for keeping those guys straight. And you can be a part of a tech community. Most everybody likes each other. And we do a meetup in the fall. So if you want to be a part of that, again, homeservershow.com. Dave will say thanks for showing up out there. He's still running that, by the way. And if you haven't checked out Reset, his new podcast, check it out. McCabe.io. And that is his new podcast as well. Geeks Life, by the way, geekslife.com. That's where we're going to go. If you want to see Lori's stuff that she's doing, Geeks Life, lots of good stuff. I think she had some of the best CES coverage I had seen yet. So if you haven't popped out there, if you want to see some great coverage and some non-CNET stuff, which seem to be everywhere in The Verge, head out there, geekslife.com. All right, we'll thank her for being on tonight as well. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at The Average Guy TV live. I'll do post-show with maybe Ask Me Anything. So I'll talk as long as you guys ask me questions. And with that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.